Hi, and welcome to the QuitCast for Writers. This is the show that helps you know what to quit, what to keep, and what to question. My name is Becca Syme, and I am a success coach for authors with thousands of hours in coaching some of the most successful people in this industry. My goal in this podcast is to help you understand why you're not having success if you aren't, and how to double down on the success you're already having. Anyone can tell you what worked for them, and they can say it might not work for you, but they can't tell you why. I can tell you why. Welcome to the QuitCast.
I'm so excited. We are now going to start a brand new series. What is the first episode, we're all asking? Well, it is based on the concepts in this book that's over my shoulder, in the Dear Writer, You're Doing It Right book, where the whole point of writing this book was to answer the questions, two questions: why am I not writing, and why am I not selling? So we're going to start a series that go through one part at a time, all of the answers to those questions. We're going to attempt at least to get through everything in the book. There are a couple of things that are not in the book that we are going to also add into this series. And so I'm looking forward to answering these questions with you in the coming weeks. Exciting part for us. But the goal of today is to talk about why am I not writing, part one. There's going to be more parts to this, but the goal of the why am I not writing part of this series is to answer the questions that people either have and don't ask, or they have and assume that the answers, like I might have a problem, I'm not writing, and I assume the answer is something other than what it really is. And we talk about this a lot around the QuitCast and around the Better Faster Academy, where I will say, this is what authors commonly ask me, and this is what I commonly answer them. So in this arena, in terms of the questions that surround and swirl around writer's block and burnout, why am I not writing, right? That's the first part. The questions that swirl around that are often full of buts. So someone will say something like, well, my kids are home because of the pandemic, but I haven't been writing it. I don't know why. And I'll often say, wait, everything you said after, but let's ignore that for a second. And let's talk about the stuff you said before the but. So this is my before the but talk, because most of us actually know what our problem is, or we at least know where the source of our problem is, because this is the secret of being a coach. So often you actually tell us what's wrong so we don't have to, but we're always ignoring what's really wrong because we don't want that to be the answer, right? Like, I don't want it to be the answer that it's because my kids are at home so much, or people who can not write over the summer, right? Because their children are home from school. Well, my kids are home, but, and then everything after that we ignore, right? So what happens before the but is often the most important thing that we need to address as coach. So sometime when you get stuck, I want you to just try that exercise. I want you to write down, this is what's happening, but that can't possibly be the answer, right? So it has to be something else. It has to be that I'm lazy, or I'm stupid, or I don't want this enough, or I'm unmotivated. It has to be one of those things. How do I get more motivated? When people ask us that question, like, how do I get more motivated to write? And I almost always answer back, I don't think that motivation is your problem. I think there's some other problem that we need to address. And so this series of videos is intended to address those problems. So the very first part of this, and maybe the most important part, is that there is a difference between being stuck, being blocked, and being burned out. And I want to talk about what the difference is between those three stages and why it's so important. If you know, we've done a writer's block series, we've done a burnout series, we have a stuck list workbook tool, which I'll put in the link to the show notes if you haven't gotten that yet. So we cover all of these pieces in more depth in other places, but I wanted specifically to talk about the relationship between these three states of being for writers and why it's super important to address the difference between them. So imagine that your creativity, or your ability to write, your creativity is a car. and that car is parked in the garage and you want to go drive it. So your ability to get inside of the creativity and turn it on and drive it out into traffic and go somewhere with it, that is what we're dealing with here in this video. What is the reason that I can't get my car to run, or I can't get to where I want to go in terms of creativity? So there are systems that govern your creativity, and this is part of why we call it a car in the metaphor, is because there are systems that govern your creativity that are interdependent or codependent on each other. The things that most commonly impact your creativity then inside of those systems are things that are also related to each other. So for instance, your family system and your friend system, so all of your relationships are an interdependent system of independent parts. So if we take your relationships as one example, what kind of day my best friend has, especially if we live in the same town or if we talk consistently, what kind of day they have impacts the kind of day that I can have. What kind of day my spouse has impacts the kind of day that I have, and it might impact the kind of day that all of our kids have. How healthy I am, how balanced I am, how depressed I am, how up I am, that affects everyone inside of the system of my family. And how we relate to each other, all of those little connecting relationships, again, my connectedness, I know, but inside of those systems, it all matters to things like how productive I'm able to be. And this concept of compartmentalization that I think is really commonly given advice in productivity is, we'll just ignore it. Just don't worry about it, right? But that's not possible for all of us. So if you are in the strengths language, or if you know Enneagram, or if you know Myers-Briggs, there are all kinds of different designations you can use to classify why some people are bothered by this and some people aren't. But some people are so interconnected and so relationship oriented that they are not able to disconnect from the way that those influencing or relating strengths or relating, that they are not able to disconnect from the way that those people around them are influencing them. They're not able to disconnect from that. And so the expectation should not be that somehow I'm just going to magically learn how, if I have never done this before, right? Like that somehow I'm just going to magically learn how to disconnect from the people, that I'm just going to be able to do that. I need to stop expecting that for myself and instead get some tools. It is possible to learn how to do that, right? But you have to get the tools and practice the skills to do that. So right now when I'm stuck, I can't just say, well, I want this all not to affect me, or I want the way that people's days are going not to affect me. Well, it's great that you want that. And I say that sincerely, because I do think that that can be a motivation to help gather the tools and gather the skills to be able to practice those things. But it doesn't just happen if you've never been able to do that before. If you're not the type of person that naturally compartmentalizes or naturally disconnects, then that's not going to be as easy for you, right? So there are some skills that you might have to gather and practice and get better at in order to do that. And they are possible. It's possible to do that. It's just not always possible when I like have a deadline in 2 weeks. That's not the best time to try to garner and gather skills and tools that I've never used before, right? And so support is a good thing in those moments, but it's not always possible to just do this on my own. But the importance of the way those systems impact us and our creativity is, it is paramount that we understand how connected everything is to each other. Because if we don't acknowledge it, that's often when we lose a lot of time trying to find a different solution. Like I lose a lot of time trying to find the right morning routine or the right productivity system or whatever it is that I'm looking for, right? I can lose a lot of time trying to figure out how to fix a problem that is on too high of a level because the real problem is down below that. And so the reason it's important to think about this metaphor in terms of vehicles is because we already understand that if my car isn't working, there's often a system inside of my car that has a part that's not working and I need to fix it. So if the fan belt is not working, then my car won't won't work, right? Because everything in that system has to work right in order for it to work the way that it's designed to work. And so we automatically understand that. So I want you to think of your creativity as a vehicle, as a car that is currently parked in the garage and not being used. So on a normal day, when I'm not stuck, when I'm not blocked, and when I'm not burned out, on a normal day, I'm able to just go out and jump in that car and drive it around. But there might be things that prevent me from being able to just go and jump in that car and drive it around. I may not be able to get out the back door. I may not be able to open my garage. The electricity might be out, right? Like there might be, and not to mention then all of the internal car things, you could tell that I'm really a car person. All of the internal car things that might go wrong, that might prevent me from being able to drive, those are additionally potential areas where you might get stuck. And I specifically use the word stuck and not blocked or burned out because those mean different things, right? When we talk about the difference between those three states of being, when it comes to why am I not writing, being stuck is essentially a fix that is fairly quick. If you've ever been high centered, those of you who live where there's snow, if you've ever been high centered where there's snow and you have that feeling of like, my car still works, everything is appears to be going well, but somehow my wheels aren't getting traction because the snow below me is too high, right? Like I'm not moving anymore, but my car is working fine. So I just need to go and shovel the snow. This happened to me actually one time because I have a lip in my cul-de-sac. And so if you think about the lip in the cul-de-sac, that's where my wheels need to go, right? And then the snow was so high that as I was driving out, the car in that lip just caught, the bottom of the car caught on the top of the snow. And I had to literally shovel all of the snow out from underneath my car to get the wheels to start making traction again, right? That's what it feels like to be stuck. It feels like everything is fine. Everything is going well, but somehow I'm not moving forward. What's going on here? Then that means that I'm stuck. So if I'm stuck, there are a couple of ways to look for, and again, I'm going to suggest that you get the stuck list from our show notes, but there are a couple of things to look for that might be able to help you to get unstuck rather quickly. The first question to ask when you're stuck is, how long have I not been writing? Because there's actually an inertness that can happen with our creativity where I can just not realize how long it's been. And what I really need is some kind of a push to get over that hump of inertness that's making me just not move forward. I lack an action point somehow. This is not about the book. It's not about anything other than usually we see this happen when someone had to take a long break for some reason, like they had to travel or move across country, and they just have a difficulty getting back into it. And in that case, my best advice is to either make an appointment with someone to write with, like a sprinting appointment that you can't miss, where it's just like you and one person, or, you know, when coffee shops are open, wherever you are, coffee shop date where you can go and write with someone, but have your productivity be dependent on someone else. So when it's only inertness, or frankly, because this sometimes works, because we're sitting here face to face right now on this video, I want you to go open your manuscript and type a word. I don't care what word it is. Just open the manuscript right now. I will wait. Go type a word, any word. And now you have crossed the barrier of inertness and you have started something and it really isn't that big of a deal. One of the reasons, by the way, that we did our April 2 for 30 challenge, the 2 minutes in your manuscript as, you know, for 30 days in a row, and we gave people a prize at the end if they made it all 30 days, because getting over the hump of not working is often one of the most difficult things you can do if you suffer from this inertness, stuckness very often. And so what we often suggest, just in terms of like what's the best for you and your process, is to try to open the manuscript regularly, even if you're not going to write in it, just so you can get away from the fear the manuscript produces. It's not a lion. It's going to be fine. Just open the manuscript. Go open it right now. I'm telling you, open your manuscript right now. If you suffer from this consistently, go do it. Do it right now. I'll wait. Okay, I'm not really going to wait. We're going to continue, but put us on pause, go open the manuscript, and then come back and listen to the rest of the stuckness in case this will help you as well. The second type of being stuck is what we call no pressure stuck, where you are just, there's no pressure. There's no push for you to get into the manuscript. And because other things often have more push, they have more urgency behind them, right? We see this happen with a lot of pressure prompted personality types where I'm going to go do the thing that is the most pressure in the moment. And so when there's no pressure, then I can sometimes get stuck and not write. And it's just being high centered, right? So sometimes just creating social pressure is enough to get past that type of pressure. I'm just going to put a little pause in here and say just for a second, there is such a thing as being a seasonal writer, which we call binge writing. And I dislike that term because I think that makes us want to fix the problem because we see it as a problem when actually just being a seasonal writer is just a thing. Like when the rain is there, you grow the crops. When the sunshine is there, you grow the crops and then you harvest them. And then the season is over, right? And then you wait for the next season to come around. So when you are a seasonal writer, then pressure is required of some kind to help you to write because you will be pressure prompted in other areas of your life. And you need the pressure to make you get unstuck, right? So there is a way to have this happen if you make your forward motion important to other people. Like we use the writing dates a lot with this or having sprint partners or something like that. We have an office on our Patreon channel where we all get together and write because we all show up and socially there's pressure for us to be writing because we're writers and we're all together, right? So there is some evidence that pressure, social pressure is enough. But when social pressure isn't enough, you do sometimes have to create external pressure. What does not work is creating internal pressure, because if you are a pressure prompted person, promises to yourself don't come with pressure attached. That's just the way that things are. And I think there's a lot of language out there right now because there's a lot of neurodiversity talk and there's a lot of ADD and ADHD talk. And there's a lot more discussion around this right now. But I also want to caution us that not all people who need pressure to get things done have ADD or ADHD. So I just want to make sure we don't like self-diagnose just because we happen to have that one thing. And instead, make sure you go see your doctor if you feel like you do need a diagnosis for that. But just because you need pressure to write or because you avoid writing, that doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It might actually just mean that you're a seasonal writer or you have certain strengths like strategic or input or adaptability or empathy or like there's a whole post on this in our Strengths for Writers Facebook group where we talked about all the different things that might cause us to be pressure prompted or seasonal and how they can actually be really beneficial. And it's important to embrace that part of us. So part of this might be embracing the fact that you're a seasonal writer and creating external pressure for yourself so that there is a reason for you to go write that isn't just reliant on your internal. Because if you are pressure prompted, you will ignore internal pressure for that only matters to you. And it doesn't mean you don't like yourself. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It doesn't mean that somehow you don't value who you are. It means that you are a pressure prompted person. I don't know how else to say that other than just we need to disconnect this idea that somehow if I can't make promises to myself, it means I don't like myself or I'm trying to sabotage myself or something like that. That is so not accurate. It's one of the things that annoys me the most about the current rhetoric that surrounds creativity and productivity is that somehow there's this expectation that I need to believe more in myself, which is often just so not necessary. It has completely to do with the amount of pressure that is external. Not that you shouldn't believe in yourself. By all means, let's believe in ourselves. We all have strengths. We all have things that make us excellent. So it's very possible that some of us do really need to believe in ourselves and Becca's just delusional, but I doubt it because I just don't see, again, I've coached so many thousands of writers. I just don't see that being the case. When you really talk to a writer who's pressure prompted, they believe in themselves just fine. It's just that they're wired to respond to pressure from external sources. And so we need to work with that instead of against it. So anyway, I'm going to step down off my soapbox about that. And I'm going to continue on to the next type of being stuck, which is the before the but. Right. This is the what we call proximity stuck, which is when there are things going on in the outside world that are making me be stuck. And we say, well, there's a global pandemic, but, well, I moved across the country, but, et cetera. Right. And so that's the ignore everything after the but, and let's focus on what's before the but. And so the big, big deal in this one is that you have to listen to yourself explaining to people, because if you say something over and over and over and over again, then there's likely some nugget of truth in there that we want to make sure to mine, because it's possible that you already know what it is that's making you proximity stuck. And it's the stuff that happens before the but. So just a note to be on the lookout for that. Super important. The fourth type of being stuck in this, what's the difference between stuck, block, and burned out, right? The fourth type of being stuck is what we call distraction stuck. So this is something we talk about a lot in the BFA, because we have a lot of high input strength, a lot of Jungian P perceivers, right? The pressure prompted people. We have a lot of those people because a lot of creativity comes out of being that type of person. And so because we have so many people like that around, we talk a lot about how to deal with distractions if you are a pressure prompted, externally motivated person. And that often means that you have to really curate the way that you use social media, notifications, email, the internet, and stuff like that around the way that you're writing, because you'll get derailed very, very quickly off onto the place where you're not getting words done. And we want to help get words done as much as possible. So the key about being distraction stuck for me is that it is almost always a sign of something else going on. So is there something that I'm not as excited about? Is there something that is overwhelming me? Is there something I don't know yet? Very few times is distraction stuck genuinely laziness. So we have to be really careful about labeling ourselves as lazy just because we do things like jump on Twitter first thing in the morning and then find ourselves not writing. Is it sometimes laziness? Of course, absolutely. I've been there. There are times when I just feel like I need to be lazy, and that's absolutely the case. But sometimes there are other things going on there. So we want to be cautious when we find ourselves overusing distractions or using them so much that we start to notice that we're using them. There's often something else going on. And at that point, you may be edging towards one of the other types of why am I not writing this, which are the blocked or the burned out types. And so, but let's talk really quickly about the distractions stuck person. So when I am a person who needs more time to process things in my head before I can write them, or when I often need a lot of input or other things to push myself toward creating the words, right? We talk about how when you have a bread machine in your head, that you often need to gather all the ingredients and put the ingredients in the bread machine and then close the lid and let it sit until the idea comes out. When you have more of that type of a personality, then you end up needing a lot more time away from the manuscript to do things that are not writing words than you would think that you do. So there's some of the distraction stuff that is actually a need for thinking, processing, researching. So there is an awful lot of an evidentiary feel to the distraction stuckness. And so often it's just evidence that we need to do something to move the story forward. So either we need to talk to someone if we're external processor, we need to think about stuff, which sometimes means incubating, right? Go for a drive, go for a walk, take a bath, take a shower, go for a bike ride, ride in a car with someone else, do some housework, whatever you need to do. But when we find ourselves going towards a lot of distractions like social media, then we end up finding, oh, right, I really needed to think about this, but I'm going, right, in a direction where instead of allowing myself to do the things I need to do, I distract myself with very quick things like social media, email, you know, that type of thing, instead of just doing the research, because I get so frustrated. And then I really quick myself into, let me just really quick check Facebook or really quick check my email. And then we end up just days and days not writing because we keep distracting ourselves. So I would say if you find yourself doing that a lot, I would try the incubation activities. And again, a lot of this is in the stuck list homework where we want to know if this is something that consistently happens to you, let's watch for that pattern and look for how to get unstuck from that place, right? So those are the four main types of the stuck part. And what we'll do in the subsequent videos is we'll talk a little bit more about the burned out part and the blocked part in addition to how do we differentiate between those. But I want to say a couple of quick things about why the metaphor of the car and the high centered part or being stuck in the mud, right, is so important. So often with these metaphors that we use, they have multiple pieces to them, right? It's not just that I like how it describes creativity, but it's also because it describes why it happens and how to get out of it. So typically with the stuck metaphor with your creative car, there's often something that happens that has very little to do with you personally. Like it's not something you did to yourself. It's often something that just happens because you're driving out of your cul-de-sac like normal and there happens to be snow, which wasn't your fault. And there are all these pieces to this change that are not about you, right? And so noticing that they've happened and quickly applying the stuck list answers. So what we do when we create the stuck list is let's go back and look at how we've gotten stuck and unstuck in the past. And let's make a list for ourselves to remind us of how do we get unstuck, right? Like that's the concept of the stuck list. And in the workbook, we walk you through kind of how to create one of those. But what we want to do when we know we're stuck is try to apply the fix as quickly as possible. Because if we don't move into applying the fix, it can often turn into something else, right? And so we want to be really cautious about not being overconscious, right? So we want to be really careful not to be overconscious about the stuck to block to burned out, pattern, because we don't want to be so conscious about like, oh, I don't want to burn out, or I don't want to get blocked. We don't want to be so afraid of that place that we don't move quickly enough through the being stuck. Like call someone, get towed, shovel the snow out from underneath your car. Those types of fixes should be fairly quick. And sometimes they do involve another person. And again, this is why we utilize that metaphor specifically. Sometimes I do have to call a friend. When I got high-centered in my driveway, I had to call two friends and have them come and help me because I couldn't do it on my own. If I ever get stuck somewhere, I have to call a tow truck to come. I can't get out on my own, right? So it's very often that you need some kind of outside assistance to get unstuck. And again, that's part of why we utilize that metaphor specifically. So I want to thank all of you for being here today. Please do download the stuck list tool so that you can get that and have that if you ever need it. Make the stuck list, put it somewhere you can see it. Make sure that you know how to get yourself unstuck as quickly as possible. And when we do subsequent videos, we're going to talk about the being blocked and being burned out. And then we're going to get into why are we not selling? And that's what I'm really excited to talk to you all about. Because there are some, how do I say this? There are some common questions that we get about why is this platform not working? Why am I not selling, et cetera, that I feel like it's important for us to talk about these things, even though some of them are not going to be fun to hear and some of them are not going to be popular, right? But they are true. And so we're going to do a little bit of a Come to Jesus series here, which I'm very excited about. Thank you all so much for being here. And again, thank you. And I hope that this video was helpful. Please give it a like and a share if it was. And if it wasn't, feel free to email me because I would love to hear about it. And do all the things that you do to just be wonderful. Those of you who are on the Patreon, we will see you on the Patreon. And meanwhile, have a great month. We'll see you next week on the QuitCast for more of this new series. Thanks. Bye, everybody.